Morning. Today's daf is daf Chav Tes in Zvachim. We're back on Chav Ches Amar Aleph. We're just going to quickly finish up the sugya of Ur HaAliyah, and then we will start today the sugya of Pigel. Okay. Just to wrap it up, the Gemara, because the Mishnah talks about the hide on the tail, so the Gemara digressed to talk a little bit about the hide of the tail. The hide of the tail is a very soft piece of hide. It's edible. The Mishnah in Chulin, which we learned yesterday, told us that it's consumable. It's basically, even though it's hide, even though it's a piece of leather, but it's a soft piece of leather, consequently it's going to be, it's food. The Mishnah in Chulin tells us that basically we treat it like a piece of meat. The animal dies without a shechita, so we know that the meat of an animal gives off tumas nevela, and the hide of the animal is also going to give off tumas nevela as well. The hide of the tail, because the hide of the tail is so soft, so that's also going to have meat as well. It's somewhat of a debate in our Gemara, whether or not the Ur HaAliyah is like the Aliyah or not like the Aliyah. In our, what's Rav Huna Rav Chista arguing about vis-a-vis carbon? Meaning we know that the tail of a sheep has to go up onto the Mizbech. I quoted yesterday the Pesukim from Vayikra Perek Gimel Pasuk Tes, where the Torah says very clearly that when you offer a sheep, so the tail of the sheep needs to go up onto the Mizbech. It's one of the Imurim, one of the burnt parts of the Mizbeach, right? So we know the sheep, the tail has to go on. What part of the tail? So the Torah says the fat of the tail. Does that include the hide as well? So the argument is, Rav Huna's argument is, no, or ha'aliyah, lav ka'aliyah. It's not like the, not the hide, only the fat of the tail. And Rav Huna quotes the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, chelbo ha'aliyah, only the fat of the tail. So you strip the tail, like I know what I'm talking about. You strip the tail of the hide, and you offer just the tail itself, the fatty part of the tail. That's Rav Huna. Rav Chista says no. Or ha'aliyah ka'aliyah, that the hide of the tail, because it's so soft, because it's edible, so therefore it has the status of the tail, and therefore, according to Rav Chista, you have to take the entire tail, including the hide, and offer it on the Mizbeach. Okay, that's the machlokas we saw yesterday between Rav Huna and Rav Chista. Meisve. We're in the middle of the Amud Chav Ches Amud Aleph, and we're just going to wrap up the sugya by questioning. Questioning Rav Chista, right? The Braisa goes like this: Hashochid es ha'ola lahakter kezayis me'or shetachas ha'alya chusim koma pasavim b'karitz chusim manu pigu v'chayev and love karis. If you shecht a carbon ola, now note carefully. It talks about over here a carbon ola, right? Pigul applies to all carbonos, and for reasons which the Gemara is going to explore in just a moment. Here we're talking only about a carbon ola. If you shecht a carbon ola in order to offer a kezayis of the or shetachas ha'aliyah, the hide under the tail, either outside its prescribed place, or which is pasul, or outside its prescribed time, which is kares. Good. So, okay, just hold that for just a moment. Let's just get through the rest of the braisa. Elazar ben Yehuda ish ivlim, omer mishum Rabbi Yaakov. V'chein hayah Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda ish kfar ikus, omer mishum Rabbi Shimon. Echad or beis haprasos, behemadaka, the hide of the feet, the hooves of a behemadaka, which again, these different hides that we're going to identify over here are soft hides, edible hides. The echad, right, the hooves of a calf, right?
The hide of the right, head of a tenor.
Right, yeah. Didn't your mother make picha?
What is it?
Oh, Dr. Zaghi. It's an Ashkenazic delicacy.
No, you may have it in a different name.
It's jelly. It's from the bones? Okay. Right, the bones of the hoof. They jelly it. They grind it up and they jelly it. Yeah? My mother makes it. I'm not a fan. The head. The hide of the head of a young calf, the echad or shetachas ha'aliyah, the chol shemanu chachamim gabi tuma, right? Ve'elu she'arasim kibsaram. And basically, the Braisa tells us, you know that Mishan Chulin, where we go through all the soft hides, lahavi or shabesa boshes, the hide of the privates of a female animal, Okay, chotzim kama pasul veim bo karetz chotzim mano pig of a chayav and of karetz. So essentially, what this position just did is just added all the soft hides. All the soft hides which are edible, you're going to be chayav karetz. So, period. The Gemara makes just a simple observation. Ola in zevach lo. The Bryce is talking about a carbon ola. The Bryce is not talking about a zevach. So, bishlam ala Rav Huna hayne diktani ola. So, according to Rav Huna, yeah. I understand. Because we're not, we're talking about a carbon ola, because by a regular carbon zevach, you're not going to be eating. You're not going to be eating the hide. It's going to go. It's right. The or ha'alya lavka alya dami. It doesn't have the status of the alya. So el Rav Chista ma'ir you did not didni ola lisnei zevach. But according to Rav Chista, where the or ha'alya is like the alya, so everything's got to go up onto the mizbeach. So the entire tail and the hide as well. So Amalach Rav Chista by saying Mabalya Shagadi. So Rav Chista says either we could be talking about the Alya Shagadi, right? The tail of a goat, which was we already pointed out, does not go up onto the Mizbech, only the tail of a sheep. Ibai Samatani Zevach, or change the Brisa. So the Brisa is not just limited to Ola, but it talks about all Zvachim as well. Period. Okay, so we end off with a machlokus between Rav Huna and Rav Chista in terms of how we view the Or Ha'alya. Is the Or Ha'alya considered like the Alya itself or not like the Alya itself? Okay.
How do we hold?
The or halya is like the alya. In other words, the tail of the sheep, the entire tail goes up onto the mizbech. Pasul ve'ein bo kares. Okay, here we go. This is really this is the main sugya of pigul. I'm going to spend the entire day today talking about this topic, the sugya. And so let me give a couple of words of introduction. We already talked about pigul in general yesterday, about what it is, in fact, that makes pigul. And what we're going to do today, it's very textual today, very textual, is that we're going to go through the Pesukim and figure out, work with the Gemara, and figure out how we arrived at the conclusion of this concept called Pigul, and what is it exactly, and which Pesukim identify Pigul being Pigul. So if you want a Chumash, it's helpful today, because really, it's a lot of Pesukim today, but it's a number of Pesukim today that we're going to quote. And so let me just give you the basics. First and foremost, where does Pigul come up first? And Chumash comes up in Parshat Tzav. Okay? Perek Zayin. Where there the Torah describes...
I think you read it yesterday.
Right? I read some of these Pesukim yesterday. Okay, I'm going to start... Let me start again. Pasuk Tezvav. Tezvav, Tezayin. Uvasa Zevach Torah Shlama B'yam Kabano Yechal Lo Yanech Mimenu Ad Boker. Right, certain karbanos have to be eaten within a certain time. So if it's a regular shlamim, so you can eat it biyom zivcho on the day that you offer it. Umi macharas, you have the next day as well. Shlamim, you have 2 days to eat it. If you eat it, if it's left over to the third day, so then you have to burn in fire because it's no sar. Okay. V'im, now pasuk yud ches. V'im hey achol ye'achal mipsar zevach shlama b'yam ha'shlishi. If you eat on the third day, lo ye'ratzeh, it's not accepted. That word lo ye'ratzeh, those are like key words over here. Lo ye'ratzeh, not accepted. Not accepted meaning the carbon's not acceptable because you ate the meat on the third day. Okay. Ha'makrivas o lo ye'cheshev lo, pigul ye'yeh. The one who offers it is not regarded, it's not considered, it's pigul. The hanefesh ha'ochels mimenu avonot yisa, and the one who eats from it is going to have to bear his sin.
So the pigul from this pasuk, it seems like it's not the intent. It's the eating that does it.
So
you
Phil,
make the intent and Phil, eat it within the time.
Right, so Phil makes a very good point, which is a simple pshat in the pasuk. The Gemara is going to make this point. It's fine. It's good. It's where we need to be. The simple pshat in the pasuk is that it's not talking about intent. It's talking about eating the animal on the third day. It sounds like this whole idea of pigul has nothing to do about intention. It has to do about consumption, about eating the animal on the wrong day. Gemara is going to reject that, but that is a simple pshat in the pasuk. Okay, pigul comes up one more time in Chumash in Parshas Kedoshim. Perek Yates, Pigul is mentioned again, very briefly. V'im hey achol ye'achol b'yom ha'shlishi. If you eat on the third day, pigul hu lo yeratzeh. It's pigul, and therefore not regarded. Okay. There's nothing about karet for a reason. Right. 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 And Hedy makes another very good point where the Torah never uses the word kares vis-a-vis pickle. Okay, there's a lot of textual issues going on in terms of pickle. We know what pickle is, but what we're going to do today in the Gemara is go through through Chazal's understanding of how it is that these psukim have to be talking about intent, not eating. Both psukim, right, which I just read, sound much more like it's all about eating and not about intention. Okay, so fine. And also, okay, let's work our way through the Gemaras. Now you have to be patient through these Gemaras. These Gemaras really take its time to get to the point. Okay, so just bear with me. I'll try to take us through each step of the Gemara, each stage of the Gemara. But the Gemara really, if you will, the Gemara meanders. So we're going to meander with the Gemara. The Gemara is in no rush to get to its point.
They didn't have that.
Is it a bottom line?
Well, we already know. By the way, you don't have to worry about that. That's there. We know what the bottom line is.
Rashi and Lipsukim gives you the bottom line.
Right. Rashi helps you out. Okay. What can I tell you? Apostle Vein Bokaris. We are on Chav Ches and Aleph. We're at the two dots at the bottom of the Amud. And let's go. Minahani Mili. So, where do we get this all from? So, Amar Shmuel Trey Kraik Siva. So, Mahi. So, Amar Rava. Shlishi Zuchutz Azmano. Pigel Zeruchutzam Kama. So, the first attempt of the Gemara, the first stab at all this, is, let's first turn all of our attention to the Pesukim and Sav. Or I should say, rather, the Pesukim and Sav. And the Pasuk in Sav says, in Pasuk Yudches, V'ima achol yecha mibsar zevach shalma v'yama shishi lo yiratzeh, ha-makriv aso lo yechashev pigol hu, sorry, lo yechashev lo, pigol yiyah. So what we're going to do is we're going to take the word shlishi, Rabbi Yama shlishi, and that's referring to chutzas mano, and pigol is referring to chutzam kamo. And then, ha-nefesh ha-ochaz mimenu, Echad v'lo shnayim. And then when the Torah says that the one who eats it, right, v'anefesh al-chals mimenu, meaning we are referring to one of the two. Zechutz azmanu l'mu'uti chutzim kamo. And that's talking, and so therefore, it pinpoints chutz azmanu, and it excludes chutzim kamo. Okay. So that's the first attempt of the Gemara, quoting Rabbah.
They're talking about
Yerches, Pasuk Yerches? Yes. Pasuk Yerches in Parshat Tzav. Ve'ema in Perek Zayin. Ve'ema ha'nefesh al-chaz mimenu zeh chutzim kamo, ulema'ute chutzim zmano. So the Gemara says, look, I understand that the Torah is trying to exclude. Why are you assuming the exclusion is going on chutzim kamo? Go the other way. Maybe the exclusion is going on chutzim zmano. Mistaber chutzim zmano adif de pasuk bay. So the Gemara says, because it opens up with chutzim zmano, meaning it talks about biyom hashlishi. Biyom hashlishi is chutzim zmano. That's talking about a time, wrong time intent. Adarabah chutzim kamo adif de smichle. The Gemara says, if the exclusion is next to chutzim kamo, sounds like chutzim kamo is what we are dealing with in terms of what the Torah is singling out. The Torah is singling out chutzim kamo, not chutzim zmano. Okay. So the Gemara says that's not it. Ela amar abai ki asur rav yitzhak bar avdimi amar rav smich adetani. Tana, kishu omer, so let's go on the following braisa. Kishu omer shlishi beparshas kedoshim tiyu she'in tam alam asharik var nemar v'im ha'achol yachol min pesar zevach ha'shlamim b'yom ha'shlishi im eino inyin l'chutzim zmano. Taneo le'inyan chutz limkamo. Okay. So the Gemara is going to go like this. This is going to be our new approach. Our first approach is that both the wrong time and wrong place intent is coming out of the Pasuk Yudches in Perek Zayin. The Gemara says no. That's not how it's going to work. How is it going to work? It's going to work by looking at the two Parshios. Look at Parshat Sav and then look at Parshat Kedoshim. Now it's funny. I'm going to give it Rashi's terminology. The Parshat Sav, that's a long pasuk. Okay, it's more words. Parshas Kedoshim, that's the short pasuk. Right? Rashi calls it the Parsha Zuta, right? The little pasuk. And what we're going to do is we're going to analyze it in the following manner. In the long pasuk, that's talking about chutzas mano, right? That's the simple pshat in the long pasuk. The wrong time intent. Then we go to Parshas Kedoshim. Now, Parshas Kedoshim, it's really short. It says simply, period. Eaten on the third day, it's pigol, it's not accepted. Good. So that's Parshas Zuta. So the Gemara's argument goes like this. Look, first of all, I know we're talking about the third day. I know that sounds like a wrong time intent, but it can be. Because you have Parshat Tzav already. So Parshat Tzav already told you that wrong time intent is going to disqualify the animal. So I have another Parsha, which is apparently redundant. So Imeinu Inyan. We've seen this so many times throughout Shas. So I'm not going to... It's not talking about wrong time intent. So I'll give it something which is related. A cousin of wrong time intent, which is wrong place intent. So Parshas Kedoshim is talking about wrong place intent. Now, here we go. Here's the tricky part. I'm going to read one more pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim. V'ochlav. I got to read two more pasukim. Okay. I read to you pasuk Zion in Perek Yotes. I'm going to read to you the pasuk before and the pasuk afterwards. Okay. Those are critical in the understanding. Pasuk before, pasuk Vav. B'yom zvachachem ye'echol memachras v'anosar yom ha'shishi ba'ishi saref. It's talking about nosar. If you eat it on the third day, a part of the karban, shlamim, so the Torah says, sorry, let me rephrase it. You need to burn it. You need to burn it on the third day. V'im he'achol ye'achol b'yam ha'shishi pigol hu, and then it says, if you eat on the third day, it's pigol. Fine. Then the next pasuk, v'ochlav avono yisah, and if you eat it, meaning the Torah just talks about two prohibitions, pigol and nosar. In correct order, let me do it the correct order. First, Nosar and Pasuk Vav, and then Pigol and Pasuk Zayin. But remember, though, Pasuk Zayin is not really talking about Chutzim Zmano, because that's already mentioned in Parshat Tzav. It's talking about Chutzim Komo. Okay? So now, Nosar and Chutzim Komo. And then in Pasuk Ches, it says, V'ochlav Avono Yisah. And if you eat it, meaning one of them, you got to bear your sin. Ki es kodesh Hashem chilal, v'nichrasa ha'nefesh ahi me'ameha. And you're going to get kares. Now, which one are you going to get kares for? Nosar or chutzim kama? So the Gemara says, u'mi'ed rachman agabe nosar v'achlav avon ha'yisah le'me'uti chutzim kama. So the Gemara says, chutzim kama is excluded. You're not going to get kares for chutzim kama. You're only going to get kares for nosar. Okay. This is, right now, a second attempt of the Gemara to arrive at the conclusion. The Gemara says it's a little bit strange. Ve'ema v'ochlav avoni yisah zeh chutzim kamo ulamote narsim ekares. Gemara says, I don't understand. What did you just do over there? You just said that the Torah is excluding chutzim kamo from kares. Could have gone the other way. Could have said that the kares is talking about chutzim kamo and excluding nosar. Meaning maybe you don't get kares for eating nosar. The Gemara says, no, it's illogical. It makes much more sense that if the Torah is going to point to Kares, it's going to point to Nosar, not to Chutzim Kamo. Why? So that we could create a Gzereshav of Avon Avon L'chutz L'zmano D'dami Le'bizav. Because, look, we're three things are on the table right now for discussion. One is Chutzim Kamo. Two is chutzim kamo, and three is nosar. Now, the Gemara says, if I'm going to create a relationship between two of them, meaning chutzim zmano and chutzim kamo, they're cousins with one another, right? If not, sisters with one another, right? But in terms of nosar, nosar is more similar to which one? Chutzim zmano or chutzim kamo? So the Gemara says, Nosar is really more related, more comparable to chutz lizmano, because it's similar in one. Huh?
But it is. Why is it the same?
They're not the same. They're not the same. Nosar means I ate it after it's hung out too long. That's nosar. And chutz lizmano is when I shechted it. I had an intent to eat it outside its prescribed time.
If you're talking about intent, but if you're
right.
talking about the
we're going to assume.
Be the same.
Okay, you're right. You're right, but we're going to assume though that when we talk about chutzas mana, we're talking about intent. Now, why are they similar? So the Gemara says they're similar in one of two ways. Number one is Zayin, and the other one is Beis. Zayin refers to Zman. Right? They're both time issues, obviously. Notice there's a time issue. You let it out too long. Chutzah Zmano is a time issue. You had intent to eat it beyond its proper time. The second one is Bama. They both apply to a Bama. There was a time historically when we were allowed to offer carbon in our backyard. Bamas were permissible, right? There's not going to be a chutzim komo element in those by a Bama, because there's no wrong place. Every place is a good place, right? So the only way that Nosar and Chusim Lizmano are similar is by Obama, where you do have time considerations by both. That's not true by Chusim Kama. Adar Abba, the Gemara says, I could also make another argument, and that is Chusim Kama Havalei Lo Ukmei Bekares LeMegma Avon LeChutz Lizmano DeDami LeBe Mikdash. So the Gemara says, wait a second. If you want to talk about a relationship and which one is more similar to what, Chutzah Zmano and Chutzah Mkomo are much closer related than the Chutzah Zmano no-star relationship. Chutzah Zmano and Chutzah Mkomo, they're similar in four categories. Mem Kuf Dalet Shin, and this is an easy acronym to remember. Mikdash, right? Let's go through each one. Number one, Mem, Machshava. They're both intent. Number two is the Kuf. Kitsas, meaning that both of them, if you had intent on a little bit of the carbon, it all gets affected. That's what we learned back in the Mishnah. Dalid is dam. They both are influenced by the blood, meaning that I affect the carbon when I work with the blood. That's not true by Nosar. Nosar is a meat issue. And finally, Shin, it's a shlishi by both. It's a shlishi by Chutzah Zmano. It says shlishi by chutzim kama, right? Assuming, by the way, again, like we've been assuming that the tzav parsha is talking about chutzim kama, and the kedoshim parsha is talking about chutzim kama. So, if I want to talk about a relationship which is more closely related, chutzim kama chutzah zmano is much more closely related than the chutzah zmano and nosar.
Can you argue that that notar is actually a subcategory of chutzah zmano?
Right, but it's not though, because chutzah zmano is intent. Notar is actual.
Yeah, but the thing is that they're both time dependent.
Correct. Correct. Gemara acknowledges
and
that.
And that's a cornerstone of both of them. They both have a time limit.
Agreed. And the Gemara made that very point. Right. No, the Gemara made that very point. But there's more similarities between chutzah zmano and chutzim kama.
Right.
So we're saying we reject this Gzereshava?
So, I'm not sure. In other words, the Gemara is just simply saying that if we're going to make the Gzereshava,
the better one
to make is Chutzah Zmano Chutzim Kama.
So, that gets back to, we just don't create Gzereshavas based upon logic.
Right. We can go back to, right, maybe we can go back to the point of we know there's a Gzereshava, it's just a question of which one now to connect it to. We have two dots. We just don't know which one to connect it to. So Elam Rav Yochanan to Niziv de Bar Levi Asa Kodesh Kodesh. Okay, so this is going to be now our third attempt. Okay, so we are now basically back almost to square one, where again I told you the Gemara is going to meander. Right. I told you today is really going to be a test of patience, and just working our way through the Gemara. We are basically still now at the point of trying to understand. How do we get all this? How do we get to this a point of understanding Chutzah Zmano versus Chutzim Kamo? And how do we know that Chutzah Zmano has a kares punishment and Chutzim Kamo does not have a kares punishment? And as we pointed out earlier, Hedy made the point earlier, it doesn't say kares by any of it. It doesn't say kares in Parshat Tzav. It doesn't say kares in Parshat Kedoshim. All we have in Parshat Kedoshim is after it's mentioned, it says Va'ochla Vavono Yisa V'nichrasa. But by Pigel itself, it never actually mentions kares. So again, now we are at our third attempt of trying to get all of this straight. Excuse me. Alam Rav Yochanan Tinizivdi Bar Levi Asa Kodesh Kodesh Ksiv Hacha. It's Kodesh Hashem Chilal v'Nichrusa uksiv Hashem v'Sraftas Anoser be'esh. Malahala Noser Afkan Noser. So the Gemara says, look, we'll say it like this. We know Noser has a Karis punishment with it. With that, we have Gzeirah Shavah. Fine. Gzeirah Shavah created with the words Kodesh Kodesh. So once we know that Noser has with it Karis, so then the Torah says, and now we go back to Parshas Kedoshim, and the Torah says, "Va'ochlav avona yisav mi'ir rachmana gabi nosar va'ochlav avona yisav lemuti chutzim kama mikares." So once we know that, now we can establish that in Parshas Kedoshim, where the Torah is talking about nosar and chutzim kamo, and we know that the Torah says va'ochlav, and if you eat it, one of the two, you're going to get kares, and we know that nosar through the gzeirah shavah is the one you're going to get kares. So that means that that the other one, the chutzim kamo, you're not going to get kares. Umay chazis dekra aricha b'chutzim zmanu shlishet the parsha kedoshim tia chutzim kamo epoch ana. So the Gemara says, okay, but also here's what you did and why did you do this? You assigned the longer parsha, right? The kra aricha, the longer parsha, you assigned that to chutzim kamo, the tzav pasuk, and the kedoshim pasuk. I said chutzim kamo? Okay, so check that. So right, so the longer parsha tzav, you assume was chutzim zmano. The shorter pasuk in kedoshim is chutzim kamo. Epoch ana. That's arbitrary. You could switch it. Mistabra aricha b'chutz zmano. The Gemara avon minosar de damile bezav. So the Gemara again says, well, look, we know that nosar is chayiv kares. We know that we're going to attach it to something. So it's more mistabra to attach it to chutz zmano because they're both time elements. Adarab aricha b'chutz zmano shlishi de kedoshim tiyu b'chutz zmano bishum de damile. So the Gemara says, well, no, if anything, if I'm going to assume that the Torah is going to put two ideas together, meaning in Kedoshim, if the Torah is going to put two ideas together, it makes much more sense to put together the Chutz Zmano and Ozar, because they're both time related. Ela Amarava Kula Mikra Aricha Asyan. Okay, so again, the Gemara now is basically going to abandon the approach of Tzav versus Kedoshim, trying to figure out the Gzeirah Shavah, right? Using process of elimination, the Gemara is going to abandon all that. And now the Gemara is going to come up with another attempt at how we're going to do it. And this is now Rava's explanation, Kulu Mikra Aricha Asyan. Everything comes from the longer Parsha, meaning Parsha Tzach. Okay, and here's what we're going to do now. Okay, so now you can basically leave Kedoshim out of it. Just look at Parshat Tzav, and he's going to quote now the pasuk, pasuk Yidches, and we're going to come up with, I counted it up, we're going to come up with 10 different drushas from the pasuk. Okay.
What is he going to do with the one that he left out there?
Yeah.
What is he going to do with the one that he left out there?
No. So we'll come back to that. Okay. Good. And we're going to come up with 10 different drushas from the pasuk, and now let's go. Rava's understanding of how we arrive at all this, we're basically back to square one. Now we're back to square one. Minahani mili. How do I know? How do I know that Parshat Tzav is talking about chutz zmano? And how do I know that you're going to get kares for eating pigo? Kul mikra arichas and dichsiv. Number one, heachol yeachel. Okay? We're just dissecting the pasuk. So the pasuk says if you eat it, and it uses a double language, b'shtei achilas akasam adabra achas achilas adam achas achilam izbeach. Right? When it comes to a wrong intent of consumer here could be either the human or the mizbeach. Either one of them is viewed as a consumer. Two, mibasar zevach shlamav mashlamim mifaglim umit paglim avkol mifaglim umit paglim. In order to be eligible for pigol, the carbon has to have a matir and a consumption. Part of it which is permitting, the other part. Why? Because the Torah uses a prototype of shlamim. Shlamim is, I take the blood, I do an avoda with the blood, and that blood is a matir. It allows me to eat the other part, either me or the mizbeach, one of the two. So in other words, it has a matir and a nitar. Right, certain karbanos that's not true by. For example, Rashi brings down the mincha of a kohen. Mincha of a kohen doesn't have a matir and a nitar. When a kohen brings a mincha, it all goes up on the Mizbeach. Rashi gives another example. Nisachim, the flower libations that come along with the carbon. There's no matir nitar.
What about carbon ola?
Carbon ola, there is a matir nitar. Because by an ola, you sprinkle the blood, which permits the rest of the animal to be eaten by the Mizbeach.
Okay.
Remember, Mizbeach is a consumer. Okay? So you have matir nitar. By certain carbons, which I just mentioned, there's no matir nitar, and therefore it's not eligible for pigel. Three, shlishi. That's, I'll say it's a coincidence. It's a third halacha generated from the word shlishi. Zer chuslazmano. Now that tells us that we're talking about chuslazmano, long time intent. Which means again that when you shecht it, you say, I'm going to eat it outside its prescribed time. If it's a shlamim, that means the third day, which is what the Torah is talking about. Number four, lo ye ratzeh. Kehartzaz kasha kain hartzaz pasal. Mahartzaz kasha ashi akrivu kol matirav. Af hartzaz pasal ashi akrivu kol matirav. In order to be eligible for pigol, the rest of the avodas have to be done correctly. Okay? Number five, hamakriv. Ve'akravu hu nifsal ve'eno nifsal ve'shlishi. This is where we know that we're talking about hakrava. Meaning when it's offered, not when you eat it. Right? Remember, the pasuk itself sounds like we're talking about pigel is a function of eating. No. Pigel is a function of offering. Behakravahu nifsal, ve'ino nifsal b'shlishi. It only becomes disqualified through pigel at the point of hakrava, of offering, not at the point of actually eating.
So he's going to verbally say it right then and there.
He's going to say it, but specifically at the point of Akrava. Number six, Oso, b'zevach ha-kasa medaber ve'ena medaber be'kohen. It becomes disqualified. Carbon, not the Kohen. Meaning you might have thought, right, we talked about this yesterday, that the Kohen who does pigel, right, like he should be censored. Maybe he is, but he doesn't become disqualified. Right, that Kohen who affected pigol, they'll say to him, like, are you, what were you doing? Right? And again, he may get censored, but he's not disqualified. The Kohen's still eligible to do the avoda from that point forward. The Einam Adabi B'Kohen. Lo ye chashev, lo ye arebo machshavas acheros. You can't mix in other machshavas. Meaning, pigol has to be exclusively pigol, and no other machshavas can be intermingled. So if I add another machshava together with pigol, so it's certainly the carbon is disqualified, but it's not eligible for pigol.
If he does chutz lazman and chutz l'mukamot together simultaneously, then it's this not pigol.
Then it's not pigol. Number eight, pigol. Right, that's the next word in the pasuk. Zechutz l'mukamo. So funny. Pigol is the word in the pasuk that's going to talk about chutz l'mukamo, which... It's ironic because, right, the whole, right, in other words, the essential pasuk is talking about chutz l'zmano, but we do have an extra word and we need to dash in the extra word, so the word pigol is going to result in chutz l'mukamo.
But that tells us something.
It tells us that they're related.
But chutz l'mukamo tells us that if you have a machshava of chutz l'mukamo, then it's the pasuk.
Huh? Agreed. Absolutely, it's going to be puzzle, but it's not going to be. It's not going to be the courage of chutzim kama. Okay, zeh chutzim kama. Yihyeh, mamamet shemistarfim zeim zeh. The word yihyeh is that they are. Right, Rashi says it. Rashi says it beautifully. They are so related. I keep calling them their cousins of one another. It's a closer relationship. They're so related that they can even combine with one another. Right? Rashi gives the example. Let's say that I intend, while shechting it, I'm going to eat a half a kezias outside its prescribed time and a half a kezias outside its prescribed place. Now, as we already learned back in the Mishnah, in order to affect pigol, I have to have a substantial amount, i.e. a kezias. If I think about a half a kezias for chutzim kama, and a half a kezias for chutzim zmano, they combine to make that full kezias. And again, you'll say to me, wait a second, they're two different things.
Right.
Yes and no. Right? Chutzim zmano is kares, Chutzim Kama is just pasul, but they're enough, they're similar enough where they can combine to affect psul.
If he already said he's gonna do Chutzim Lazmano first, isn't he mafkil already and that's it?
Until they have like Zayas.
No, but you need to. The consumption has to be on a substantial amount, and it has to be kazayis.
Okay, so what if he said he's going to do a whole kazayit shlo zman,
right?
Right. And then he's going to do another kazayit. So that there's not a quantity problem.
Say, like, no, so there's not a quantity problem, but then they go back to a different problem. Then you are ma'arid. Then you right. Then you mingle.
So just before, like,
then you then you mingle.
So it's not a each current first issue. It's not a
correct.
If he's mafakil, that's it. It's
correct. Shemitzarfen zeim zeh. Number 10. Okay, this is it. I told you there are 10 of them. Hanefesh al chalz mimenu echad veloshnayim. Right, and now the Torah, even though we just identified them to be very related, we just said that they could be mitzarif with one another, yet hanefesh ha'achelos mimenu. Mimenu is a miut, it's a limitation. It means it, not them. Meaning one of them is going to get singled out. Which one? Ve'ezu zeh? Chutzus mano. That's what chutzus mano, digmar avan avan minosar, didami le bezav. And which one are we going to single out? The chutzus mano. Why? Because we know that Nosar has kares, right? That we know. We know Nosar has kares with it. Right? The Gemara earlier based it on Xera Shava. We know. And I'm going to now ask the question. Which one of them is similar to Nosar? But that's easy. If I had to choose either chutzum kom or chutzus mano, and I know that I'm going to compare one of them to Nosar, so obviously Chutzus Manu is going to be the winner because they're time related. Amalei Rapapala Ravala Didcha Shlisha Deparshat Kedoshim Tiyu Maidar Ashtabei. Good. Next step. Okay, so we are now in Rava's world where it's all really being generated from all these halachas and all the sources are being generated from Parshat Tzav. So now that you did that, what are you doing with Parshat Kedoshim? You have an entire pasuk in Parshat Kedoshim which is now free and clear. And so, what are you going to do with that pasuk? How we buy leila makom sheim meshulash bedam bebasar v'imurim. The place has to be meshulash bedam bebasar v'imurim. What does that mean? Okay, so it's not easy. Not easy to tell you what that means. Rashi says that what that means is, in other words, wait, let me just take a step backwards. The parshan kedoshim is now really just not needed, not necessary. All the halachas we just generated from is in parshan tzav. 10 drushas in Parshat Tzav. So Parshat Kedoshim is there to teach us one little nuanced point, which is a halacha in Chutzim Kamo. Specifically, the Gemara's terminology is very vague. Mishulash bedam bebasar v'imurim. It's got to have three components. Blood, meat, and the burnt parts of an animal on the Mizbeach, the imurim. What does that mean? So Rashi says like this. Chutzim Kamo has to be a place outside where all three of those are going to be prohibited, right? But let's say, for example, I say when I shecht it, I'm going to eat it inside the Heichal, right? Inside the Heichal. So the Heichal doesn't qualify as Chutzim Kamo. Even though, do I eat the meat in the Heichal? No, I'm not allowed to. Do I burn the limbs in the heichal? No. I do sometimes sprinkle the blood in the heichal. Mm-hmm. So the heichal doesn't qualify as chutzim kamo because all three parts, the blood, the imurim, and the basar, are all not prohibited, precluded from the heichal, from the actual building itself. That's the way Rashi explains it. Tosus over here has a very long attack on Rashi. Tosus offers a couple of other pshatim. Okay, for now, it's good for now. So the Gemara says, "Tepek le mikra kami machal yecha midafka rechman ablashon shlishi." Back to the Gemara. So tepek le mikra kama im heachal yecha midafka rechman ablashon shlishi. So Amar Rav Ashi, Amar Yisrael Shmaisa Kama Rav Masna, Amar Lei Ime Hasam Havamine Shlishi Prat Pigol Klal V'Nasa Klal Mosif Ala Prat V'Isra B'Shar Mekamos. The Gemara says, well, What we could have done is, had we not had the pasuk in Kedoshim, and all we had was the pasuk in Sav, I may have thought to darshan in the style of Prat Uklau. Now we know the style of Prat Uklau tells us a specific example followed by generality, and the generality includes other things. And if I would have darshan in that manner, I might have thought that the Chutzim Kamo incorporates all areas, even areas like the Heichal. That's why I need the Parsha, the Pasuk and Parsha's Kedoshim. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan. We continue. Good. It seems like the Gemara is satisfied. It seems like we have now a basic understanding. It's, again, it's tricky.
According to Rabbi, it's based on Rabbi's interpretation.
It seems to be all based on Rabbi's interpretation. That the halachas of Pigel are all generated from Parshat Sav. Parshat Kedoshim is there to tell us the detail in the Chutzlam Komo, but really all of it's generated from the Parsha of Sav. How do we know that there's a Chi of Kares? So the Gemara says because of its relationship to Nosar. We know you get Kares for Nosar, consequently you also know you're going to get Nosar for Chutzlizmano, the Chutzlizmano intent. Tanu Rabbanan. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Kof as decha lishmoa, b'mechashiv leecho mizivcho b'yam shlishi hakasav medaber. Okay, here in this brisa, the Gemara takes up the issue that we talked about earlier this morning. It's not the pshat in the pasuk. The pshat in the pasuk is not talking about intent. The pshat in the pasuk is I eat the karban on the third day, and that renders it pigle. And what Rabbi Eliezer says is, Kof aznecha, I want you to bend your ears, meaning listen to me carefully, as I'm telling you now, the pasuk is not talking about eating it on the third day, but it's talking about intent when you shechted it. Rabbi Eliezer says, how do I know that? What's my argument? Kof aznecha lishmon b'machshev l'achol menzbechom yom shlishik hazum edaber. How do I know that? Oh, enu ala ba'ocham is divcho liyom ha-shlishi. Maybe you want to go with the simple pshat in the pasuk that it's talking about eating the carbon on the third day. Amart, achar shu kasher, yachzor v'yipasel. He says it can't be. Because think about it. What just happened over here? We're talking about where everything was done correctly, the carbon was offered correctly, and now because you left some meat over for the third day, and now because you ate meat on the third day, we're going to go backwards. We're going to look back, and we're going to say carbon's no good. What do you mean carbon's no good? You can't do that. What are you going to do? You're going to retroactively go back to the carbon and say carbon's no good just because you ate it on the third day? Rabbi Eliezer says can't be. Can't be that that's what the Torah is talking about. Therefore, it's got to be talking about intent at the time of being makriv. Specifically, one intent that I'm going to eat it at the wrong time. Okay, this is Rabbi Eliezer's argument.
So he basically doesn't hold by notar then.
No, he does hold by notar. This particular pasuk is not talking about notar. This particular pasuk can't be talking about notar because the Torah is talking about invalidation of the karban. What are you going to do? You're going to go backwards now, and you're going to say.
But that's what notar is, though, no.
But notar doesn't invalidate a karban. All notar says is that if you have leftover meat and you eat that leftover meat, you're chayv kares. But it doesn't question the
carbon is valid, everything's
right. Doesn't question the validity of the carbon. Carbon's still good. Okay. This is Rabbi Eliezer's argument. So Rabbi Akiva says to him, Amar lo Rabbi Akiva, pain. So Rabbi Akiva says, Rabbi Eliezer, what's your issue? Your issue is looking backwards and retroactively determining about something? Rabbi Akiva says, that happens. We do that in a halacha, where we go backwards and we retroactively disqualify. And Rabbi Akiva says, let me give you a couple of examples. Allow me to give you a couple of examples, Rabbi Akiva says to his good friend Rabbi Eliezer. Look, Zav and Zava, right? Simple case where a woman's a Zava, right? She bleeds 3 days during her Yemei Ziva. She's now a Zava Gedola. And she needs to count Shiva Nakim, she needs to count 7 clean days. Okay? And she starts counting. Day 1, day 2, day 3, day 4, day 5. Day 6, let's say she has a discharge. So what do?
We
go backwards. All those days she counted. She counted 5 clean days.
Canceled.
What do you mean canceled? Can't we save those 5 clean days? Right? Okay, so in other words, fine, so let's count another 2 more clean days. No. We go backwards and we cancel those 5 days. So what do you want to tell me? We don't go back retroactively? Rabbi Kiva says, sure we do. Zav, Zav, Shomer, Yom Keneged Yom. We do go back retroactively. Shame, Bechezkas, Tara, Bekeven, Shirao, Sisra.
But it's not a question of retroactively.
Right.
You actually record this many days together.
Right. Excellent. And it's so good. And I was waiting for Rabbi Eliezer to like sit on that fastball and like to hit it. And I don't know why Rabbi Eliezer doesn't respond that. I would have said the same thing, right? That's an excellent point, right? In other words, those 7 days are a unit.
Right.
It's not where we're going backwards.
Right.
Okay. Well done. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Obviously, Rabbi Kiva feels that's a strong point. So we have to have some understanding of what Rabbi Kiva is saying.
Maybe those days, once that you find the Ziva, are all retroactively. As if she was tummy all those days, and so anything maybe she touched is tummy.
Right.
Because if that's it, then that would be enough.
Right, but I understood. Okay. Right. Okay, good. Where are we? Kevin Shiraz, the Persian country, the Zabbat. The Ains that Kari Chazakatar, Ella Nira, the Maibi Shri Shulahan, La Achashita. Right, he goes back to the. We're not talking about, right, day 5. We're talking about after they tell.
After the
Tovah. Right. Right. After they tell. Okay. Anyway, Avatal Titmal Zesh Alpha Pishahukshar Shiachra Vipostel. So Amar Lay, who Amar Hamakr Vishasakravu Nifsal, the Eno Nifsal Vishlishi. So he says, look, we're going to go back to a point which, quite honestly, we saw already this morning, and that is the word Hamakriv. Hamakriv means, when is all this occurring? At the time when you offered it. So with the time you offered it, not 3 days later. So maybe Hamakriv means that we're going to apostle the Kohen. The Gemara says, no, it can't be. Because Oso tells us that we're never going to challenge the Kohen, meaning the Kohen is never going to be disqualified, even though he created Pigol, it's going on the carbon itself. So again, you see, Tanoim, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Kiva, arguing over the same point as well. How do I know that the simple pshat on the pasuk is not the one we're going to follow? How do I know that the pasuk of Pigol is referring to intent at the time when you offered it? So again, Rabbi Eliezer makes the argument, it's got to be, because we'll never retroactively go back to the carbon and disqualify carbon just because you left over meat. Can't be. And we know that the carbon's not accepted. We know the carbon's invalidated. Must be at the time of the offering. That's Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Akiva's approach is based on the word hamakriv, meaning at the time of offering, not at the time of eating. Okay, good. So, I told you, it's just today's the day of patience. So we finished the discussion today of the Or HaAlya. The conclusion of the Gemara seems to be that the Or HaAlya, the height of the tail is like a tail. And then the Gemara started its long discussion of Pigol. After making a number of attempts of understanding the relationship of the two Pesukim, one of Tzav and one of Kedoshim, and understanding that the Pasuk and Tzav is really the source for Pigol, the Parshan Kedoshim is just telling us a small halacha, not a small halacha, but one halacha in the world of Chutzim Kamo, and then the Gemara has a discussion of how do I know not to accept the simple pshat of the Pesukim in Tzav and in Kedoshim. Okay, I'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up. Rabbi Chananya ben Akasha, Mitzvah Shabbat, Zaki, Tzor, Fichach. Here, Bam Tor, Mitzvah, Shanem, Arnach, Hafetz, Mitzvah, Yagdur, Tzor, Aviyadir.